fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. We're always taking callers for him to hang up on. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We're going to be joined by Michael O'Keefe of the New York Daily News' sports I-team at 10:15. The New York Daily News had more details this weekend on just what Roger Goodell knew about Ray Rice's situation. And more importantly, the article looks at the type of issues Goodell could face if he has to testify under oath should Rice's pending appeal go to trial. And this, despite Roger Goodell's news conference on Friday, Roger Goodell stepped off the platform and ESPN's Outside the Lines had a report that essentially showed Baltimore Ravens ownership and management essentially showed them as being totally culpable in trying to pressure the NFL to not suspend Ray Rice. It was a bizarre report, and the timing couldn't have been worse for Roger Goodell after he'd stood up. And I know Roger Goodell really didn't say much of anything, but at least he held his media availability and the timing of the ESPN report couldn't have been any worse. So the Ray Rice / Adrian Peters situation continues to dominate discussion in the NFL. We're going to take your calls at 10:40, by the way, because we haven't had a chance to talk since Roger Goodell's news conference. Did you come out of that thinking more or less about the NFL commissioner? Did you come out of that satisfied, prepared to move on to watch your Sunday football? Or did you come out of Roger Goodell's news conference feeling a whole lot of nothing and thinking that it was a whole lot of nothing? So we'll take your calls on that after Michael O'Keefe joins us. Do we have Stephen White? Stephen White played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New York Jets, defensive end. He is now an NFL writer with SB Nation, and you can follow him at SGW94 on Twitter. A lot to talk about after this weekend of the NFL on the field. The Cincinnati Bengals, Arizona Cardinals, Philadelphia Eagles are all 3-0. The Bengals crushing Tennessee, and now going into the bye week, looking to be in a pretty good situation. There was a Super Bowl rematch. The Broncos offense really didn't. Well, it wasn't until the fourth quarter that Peyton Manning kind of got it together. It was 13-20. Couple of touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. But just a kind of a meh performance by Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Stephen White of SB Nation joins us in the Jeff Blair Show. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing well. So we finally got to talk about some action on the field this weekend. What caught your eye? What surprised you about this weekend's games? Was it sort of the Broncos? I don't know. How would you describe that offensive effort from Denver? It was just I expected a little more.
Well, I actually kind of felt like that's what we would see. I think they're just a bad matchup going against that Seattle defense,
mm-hmm.
especially in Seattle where you have all the noise. And so, you know, they got kind of caught lightning in the bottle at the end of the game and got some quick scores. But other than that, it kind of went like I thought it would. There's just some teams that are bad matchups for you, and I think that's what it is with that Seattle defense.
Are they a bad matchup for the Broncos, or are they especially a bad matchup for Peyton Manning?
I think just overall.
Okay.
I think they don't like the Broncos don't like to run the ball, and Seattle's a team, if you play them at home, you're going to have to run the ball some just to ward off their pass rush so much. And so they don't run the ball. They've got some guys that can get deep, but, that's kind of what you're kind of playing into Seattle's hands when you try to throw the ball deep. They play a lot of cover three, and so that's one of the things they try to take away from you in the first place. I think some of the things they did in the second half, late in the second half, trying to get back in the game with the pick routes and stuff, start to work for them. Maybe they should have used early on in the game. But I just think they have good matchups on defense across the board. And then, of course, that ferocious pass rush to get to Peyton that makes them a bad matchup for them.
Stephen White joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Cincinnati, Arizona, Philly, they've come out of the week unbeaten. Which of those three teams do you think are pretenders? Which of those teams do you think are legit 3-0? Are there any is there any separation between those three teams?
Yeah, I think by far Cincinnati is the best of those three,
mm-hmm.
and they won their games pretty handily. They have shown that with the new offense coordinator, they're going to run the ball quite a bit, which takes a lot of pressure off of their quarterback Andy Dalton, who's kind of shown that he can look good in spots, but kind of shrinks when the lights come on, so to speak. So that has helped them tremendously. Their defense is still playing great. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles, and the thing that's always going to bother me about them is their defense. I think their offense, even though they started slow in every game, can put up 30 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, will their defense be able to stop the other team from scoring 31? So, I do believe in the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that the way their offense is set up, they can score pretty much against anybody. But I just don't have a lot of trust in their defense. The Arizona Cardinals, you just never know, because they won two of those games with a backup quarterback in Drew Stanton. So their defense is very stout. They have a lot of weapons on offense now. We'll see how well they do as the season goes on when they go back to the regular quarterback. But for right now, I'm still kind of on the fence about them.
Stephen White joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So I guess now we've seen the Teddy Bridgewater and Blake Bortles eras underway, if you want to call it that. what I'm really interested in, though, is this sort of this continuing storyline with Kirk Cousins. And I mean, Stephen, I've got to ask you, are they a better team with him a quarterback than RG3?
Well, I think it's hard to say. We really only got to see RG3 for, a game and a half. And I actually thought while a lot of people were dogging him the first game against Houston, I thought he played pretty well. Their offense in general had a lot of miscues that game, a lot of fumbles and stuff like that in the red zone, missed opportunities. But I thought he played pretty decent. But Kirk Cousins does come in and he runs the offense pretty well. But then he makes, the big mistake, too. He throws the interception yesterday when they're in the prime position to win the game. So it's kind of hard to say. If we had a little bit more time to see RG3 in this new system, I think it would be easier to evaluate either guy. But the one thing that no matter what it showed is that Kirk Cousins can come in and get the job done. He's not going to look like a deer in the headlights. He knows how to make plays down the field and to get them in the best play possible with his checks and everything. So it'll be interesting to see as they go on how successful the team is around him, how many games they win before RG3 potentially comes back. Because I think if they start winning, then it's more of a big deal. But if they're not winning games, no matter how well Cousins plays, I think it's not going to be a big deal to turn back to RG3.
The Cardinals, as we said, are 3-0 after a 23-14 win over San Francisco. The 49ers haven't managed to score a touchdown in the fourth quarter of the season. What are you seeing from the 49ers that would concern you?
Ball security, and it just doesn't look like they have a plan anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You knew what you were going to get with the 49ers before. They're going to come in and pound you into submission. And in the third and fourth quarter, they're going to weigh you down so much that now you start seeing the big runs from Frank Gore. The three-yard runs become 10-yard runs. Now I think maybe they are trying so much to feature Kaepernick that they've gotten away from their identity a little bit. And in the third and fourth quarter, they're trying to do some things that are uncharacteristic of them. And then Kaepernick has to play better in the second half, just plain and simple. He can't turn the ball over, and their defense isn't what it used to be, and so they can't cover for him when he does make a big mistake like that. So as a team, they kind of have to get back to their identity. Their defense has to get back to playing the way that they're used to playing, even though some guys are out. And their offense has to get back to being a ball control, run it right at you type of offense and take some shots down the field where they come to you instead of trying to force the ball down the field just so you can kind of, I would say, kind of highlight your quarterback and play to his strengths, play to the team's strengths, and run the ball a little bit more.
Well, it's almost as if their opening drive, I mean, I think Kaepernick was 7-for-7. He had a touchdown pass on the opening drive, and he accounted for 161 of their 182 yards in the first half. But you're right. It's one thing, Stephen, when a quarterback dominates because that's kind of the way the game is going. But it just seems that there are too many times where the 49ers are almost become predictable. It's almost predictable that what they're going to expect Colin Kaepernick to do. And you know, when I guess what I'm saying is when he first came into the league, there was an unpredictability about him. And now it's a little, there's a predictability about his unpredictability almost, isn't there?
Well, yeah, especially with, you know, the read option stuff, the quarterback run game stuff, which they're doing a little bit more of. I just think that, once again, even when he's playing well in the first half, sometimes they get carried away and say, well, we're just going to keep riding his arm, where they should be riding Frank Gore's legs and Carlos Hyde's legs because that's how they're built. I don't think that he's at a place, or even the team is at a place right now where you want to be throwing the ball 40 times a game. That's just not who the 49ers are. That's not who they've been when they went to the NFC Championship, to the Super Bowl. That's not who they were. And so, to a certain extent, now that everybody's kind of figured out, hey, they're going to run him on these certain plays, he has been figured out in the run game to a certain extent. And so you have to go back to what you do best. Run the ball downhill. You keep doing that, you'll wear teams down in the third and fourth quarter. If you keep trying to kind of have this mixed bag or ride Kaepernick through the air, it just is not going to work out for them in the long term, I don't think.
Stephen, it was good to join us this morning. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
As Stephen White of SB Nation, you can follow him on Twitter at SGW94. He's a former defensive end with the Buccaneers and the Jets. And who would have thought that Green Bay and San Francisco after 3 weeks would be? I don't know if you could say they're in trouble, but if you take a look at the way potential playoff structure, it's entirely possible one of those two teams doesn't get in, which would be shocking considering a lot of people had Green Bay, myself included, had Green Bay going to the Super Bowl. I mean, it is early still; it's only three games, but you would like to see a little more from Green Bay, to be honest. Not been impressed with the Packers. Roger Goodell held his much anticipated, or eagerly anticipated, news conference on Friday in New York. I watched it. I was here along with just about everybody else, I think, in the newsroom here watching it. That was kind of what I expected from Roger Goodell. He's stuck to his talking points and didn't really answer a lot of the questions that I think most people have about how he handled or mishandled Ray Rice's situation and to a certain degree Adrian Peterson's situation and the ongoing, keep using the word situation, the ongoing domestic assault situation with Greg Hardy. But I don't know what, I was thinking about this halfway through the news conference. I really don't know what we expected from the guy. I guess what I wanted to see was maybe a little more nuanced understanding of the situation. I'm not a big fan of necessarily saying, well, we're going to address something by putting together a special committee and they'll get back to us. They'll get back to us around Super Bowl. I go back to how Adam Silver handled the situation with the LA Clippers. If you think about Adam Silver's news conference where he came out, and I mean, he was pissed. You could tell this was a guy that was really just disgusted by what he had to talk about and disgusted by Donald Sterling and what he had to do with the Clippers. And there was a proper amount of anger balanced off by sort of the reality, the analytical reality of his situation as commissioner. I have to maintain a certain decorum, but man, I'm really mad about this. And I didn't get that from Roger Goodell. And I think maybe that's what I was looking for. The New York Daily News is sports eye team. Of course, after Goodell's news conference, published a report that Goodell was actually well aware of everything that happened in the elevator with Ray and Janae Rice. And more to the point, the article goes on to discuss some of the issues Goodell could face if he has to testify under oath should Rice's pending appeal go to trial. If anybody thought Roger Goodell was going to be able to sweep everything under the rug or that just having Roger Goodell come out and talk was going to make everything go away, they were sadly wrong. In addition to this, of course, there's the ESPN Outside the Lines report about that really casts serious doubt on just the, I guess, moral core of the Ravens organization. So it was not a good weekend for Roger Goodell, despite his news conference. Michael O'Keefe is an investigative sports reporter with the New York Daily News. He is part of their sports eye team. You can follow him on Twitter at MOKNYDN. You can follow the sports eye team on Twitter, NYDN Sports Eye Team. Michael O'Keefe joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Michael, thanks so much for doing this.
Hi, good morning, Jeff.
So this really just keeps getting deeper and deeper for Roger Goodell, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're seeing here is the most serious crisis the NFL has ever faced. And this is coming in a, you know, there's a context here. We've seen over the past few years the NFL really mishandled research and the science that's come out about the dangers of concussions, for example. Mm-hmm. And the NFL tried to tamp that research down. They questioned the not only the research but the integrity of some of the researchers that were conducting, the science. And, now here we are with this domestic violence and child abuse scandal. And I think the NFL really dug itself into a hole here. And I think the reason why people are questioning Roger Goodell's integrity and credibility is because he has shown in the past that his integrity is questionable.
The thing that I find remarkable with the New York Daily News reporting, the outside the lines reporting, all the reporting that's going on about this and all the stuff that's coming out, it's one thing if you could sit there and say, boy, Roger Goodell's not very smart and he's handled all these situations wrong. But we're getting to the point now, Michael, where I think broadening it a little bit, there appears to be a real cultural blind spot to this whole issue of domestic violence, just violence, off-field violence in general. There seems to be almost an institutional blind spot to it when you hear about, you know, what the Ravens ownership was doing and how, I mean, the Carolina, you know, the Carolina Panthers, their owner a week ago was received an award and during his speech broke down crying as he was talking about domestic abuse. And, you know, yet he let his general manager keep Greg Hardy around. Like, it just seems that there's a real institutional blind spot about this.
I think the NFL is stuck in, you know, this sort of madman type of mentality, and I think that's the problem. And I think, to give Goodell credit, I think he did address that at the press conference the other day where he talked about, you know, we didn't have any women in that room when we were questioning Ray Rice and Jenny Palmer. We didn't have any women advising us on how we should address these issues. I think if they had women who were part of his inner circle in the first place, mm-hmm. we may have seen a different outcome on this. But, I mean, look, you know, this is the same league where when Michael Pham announced that he was gay and he was going to be, make himself eligible for the NFL draft, he was a distraction. I think in America, in the United States and Canada, the whole issue of whether or not your coworker is gay or not, nobody cares anymore. You know, the guy in the next cubicle or the woman in the next cubicle to you is gay. Nobody cares. But in NFL, that was somewhat of an issue. That was a distraction. There are allegations that Chris Bluey was cut from the Minnesota Vikings because of his advocacy of gay rights. It just seems like the league is stuck, a couple of decades behind the rest of us.
So what's at stake for Roger Goodell if he actually ends up having to testify under oath if this appeal goes to trial? Because one thing we know is that Roger Goodell has not always come off real well when he's been in court.
Yeah, let's go through the process. I mean, right now, Rice is going to, he has announced that he's going to appeal his suspension and his cutting by the Ravens. So most likely they're going to have to go through that appeal. Now, the guy who would normally hear that appeal would be Roger Goodell, which is a real conflict of interest. I mean, part of the NFL's problem here is they just don't have an independent system to address these issues. And if you don't have an independent arbitrator hearing these things, you're automatically raising questions of conflicts of interest. But if they go through this arbitration and Rice is not happy with the outcome, he is certainly going to go to court. I mean, I can't imagine that he's not going to take this to a federal court and try to address it in that way. Now, in the arbitration and in a lawsuit, Goodell is surely going to be a witness. I mean, his testimony as to why he flip-flopped on this or changed course on the suspension where they go from two games now all of a sudden to, you're banned for life indefinitely. That is the crux of the matter. He's going to be a witness, and he is going to have to testify truthfully, or he could face perjury charges or obstruction charges. I don't think the commissioner is going to go in and lie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's probably going to give testimony that is nuanced and somewhat ambiguous, and that's, you know, what most people do when they have to go, when they testify in court or when they appear before a grand jury or are questioned by investigators. So I don't think there's a big chance that he's going to be charged with perjury. I don't think he's going to lie outright. I think that the league is going to prepare him. The lawyers are going to prepare him in a way in which he'll try to dance around this. But the real danger for the league isn't perjury or criminal charges. It's this stuff is then going to be public. He's going to have to tell the truth. And if it conflicts with what he said on Friday, he's going to look really bad and the NFL is going to look really bad.
Michael O'Keefe of the New York Daily News joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Did we expect, when I say we, myself and a lot of other people who were interested in what Roger Goodell was going to say, do you think that a lot of us expected too much from Roger Goodell on Friday? You know, because he's really, as a couple of people pointed out, what could he say? And my whole point was, I just expected more empathy, maybe. Is that the word I'm looking for? Maybe more empathy. It's one thing to say, well, I made a mistake, but I wanted something a little more sincere, as opposed to I made a mistake, I'm putting a committee together. It's going to have women on it, and we should have a report by the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they the earlier that morning they put out a press release saying that they're throwing a lot of money at domestic violence abuse prevention and hotlines and groups that help domestic violence victims. But I think empathy is exactly the right word. He's stuck between a rock and a hard place. He doesn't want to say anything that's going to later be used against the NFL in court. At the same time, he faces this huge personal relations crisis. Once in your life, you'd like one of these guys to just sort of, Adam Silver did this, but once in your life, one of these guys to say, we screwed up. We're lacking in education. We're ignorant. We're insensitive. But we want to do better. He didn't go quite that far at all.
Michael, it's good of you to do this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Take care. That is Michael O'Keefe. He's an investigative reporter with the New York Daily News, the sports eye team. You can follow him on Twitter at MOKNYDN and the New York Daily News sports eye team. They do a terrific job. That paper has made a real substantial commitment to its sports eye team. You can follow them on Twitter at NYDN sports eye team. Just had a little note handed to me by my crack producer, Travis McKenzie. Gary Bettman will be speaking to the Canadian Club today regarding the state of the NHL, and that news conference will be streamed live. Sorry, news conference. It's a speech will be streamed live on sportsnet.ca at 12:30. So if you want to hear what Gary Bettman has to say about the state of the NHL, and we are 16 days away from the start of the season, you can hear that on sportsnet.ca. It'll be streaming live starting at 12:30. So I want to continue our discussion about the NFL and Roger Goodell and about his news conference on Friday, because we haven't had a chance to speak since then. And I agree, and a couple of people have reached out to me on Twitter and said, really, what did you expect him to do? What did you expect Roger Goodell to do, considering the fact that there's potential legal action surrounding the situation? And my point was this. I think there's a way you address a situation like this. And I think Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, showed everybody the way with the way he presented himself when he was dealing with Donald Sterling. And I think the word is empathy. You expect some sort of acknowledgement, not just of the fact that a mistake was made, but an acknowledgement of the fact that the mistake was a little deeper than simply, it was an oversight. And I still think that part of the issue with Roger Goodell and the NFL is they're trying to paint this as, it was kind of an oversight, as opposed to really looking at it as something that really strikes at the heart of the NFL and is symbolic of a, like I said, an organizational cultural blind spot. Still don't get the sense Roger Goodell's taking it very seriously. Now, then you hear the when Outside the Lines came out with that report on the Baltimore Ravens and the role of management and ownership in going to bat for Ray Rice, and it had absolutely no concern about his domestic assault charges or anything like that. They just want a Ray Rice in the lineup. When you see that, you really begin to wonder just how deep the rot goes. And I think because of that, because of the continuing, the spin, the churn of the news cycle around this story, Roger Goodell's appearance Friday looks even more and more ham-handed, more and more, I don't know, perfunctory is the word. You really do get a sense that it's an organization that isn't taking this issue seriously. But I want to get your take on this at 416-870-0590. *591-888-666-0590. How did you view Roger Goodell's Friday press conference? What did you expect from it? Do you think more of Roger Goodell or less of him as a result of that press conference? Let me ask you this. How seriously do you think the NFL takes its public image when it comes to matters like this? 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. Back with more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Prices like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We are back with a little Pink Floyd. So we are asking the question, what did we expect from Roger Goodell anyhow, as we look back at that Friday news conference? I mean, the story's just going to keep going on and on and on. I think it's safe to say that he was uniformly panned by his critics, Roger Goodell was, for his dry. Well, a lot of people would have described it as being measured. It's kind of a dry, emotionless recitation of facts, and I think people expected a little more. People expected more of Adam Silver and Donald Sterling, and more, a little more anger, a little more sense of outrage, a little more empathy, in fact. A little more, I'm leading this league, I'm the figurehead of this league, and I'm addressing a situation that really troubles me. As opposed to, I'm the person leading this league, and I have to address a situation that troubles me. Big difference. Chris in Newmarket, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What did you make of Roger Goodell's news conference? Did it change your mind? Did your mind need changing? What was the upshoot of it as far as you were concerned?
Hey Jeff, how you doing, man?
Good.
I'm kind of in the same position as a lot of people, where it's the idea of what did he, what could you have expected from him? I'm in belief that when you're the commissioner of really any sport, it's kind of in your best interest to keep personal emotion aside when you're dealing with all this kind of stuff, especially. When you're in the middle of it, like Goodell is right now. But to kind of further the point where, you kind of ask the question, does everybody believe that the NFL is taking domestic violence and child abuse, seriously enough? To be perfectly honest with you, I don't really think a lot of people are taking Adrian Peterson's situation quite as seriously as they should be. With both of these situations, really the only difference is that one of them is seemingly justified because it's, the discipline of a child. A lot of people will bring it up and say, well, that's just how he was brought up, or it's okay to hit a child because, that's just disciplining a child. It's kind of sad in the sense that, the entire time we've kind of, that I've even been listening to the program this morning, Ray Rice is the only one who's really been brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Peterson you know, hit a child. The reality is, you know, and a lot of people may not agree with this, you may not agree with this, but, you know, Ray Rice's wife probably did a whole lot more to provoke being hit. I'm not saying it was justified to be hit, but, you know, everybody's kind of been in that situation where, whether it's a male or a female, your buttons get pushed, and sometimes you overreact.
I know what you're getting at, and your point is that the child probably didn't do anything, beyond what children do to deserve the whipping that he got. It's a slippery slope to go down that road and to try to, compare trigger points or, you know, trigger mechanisms, you know, and I would just say that physically abusing someone, doesn't matter who they are. I mean, you just can't do it. You know, there's no, and look, we've all been in situations where people have challenged you to a fight, or you found yourself in a situation like that. But it really doesn't take much to get out of it. It really doesn't take much to exercise sober second thought. It really doesn't. And I know everybody's wired differently, and I keep saying when it comes to football players in particular, you know, you're dealing with guys who every weekend are chemicaled up out of their mind to go out and play football. I mean, they are. I mean, they just are. And you don't know how that carries over off the field. But this idea, you know, your point that somehow the child abuse is worse because the child probably didn't do anything to precipitate it. It really doesn't matter what Jhené Rice did. Nothing excuses beating somebody up. And it really doesn't. Whether it's your friend, a male friend, wife, girlfriend, it just, nothing excuses it. It is not justifiable. You have to be better than that. Clifton and Etobicoke, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
You know, Jeff, like, I've often been accused, sir, of playing the race card on some of these issues, Jeff.
Well, it would be easy to do that.
Yeah. Now, I've always felt that most of these commissioners, Goodell, Stern, except for Gary Bettman, all of these guys are concerned about is the money that they're making from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about child abuse and all these things that affect the communities where these guys are coming from. You know, I hear all this talk about how much money that Mr. Goodell is making for the league and stuff like that. You know, that might be true, but hear what? Warren Buffett, I think, once says that a good economic record is more about the business boat that you get into than how effectively you roll.
Mm-hmm.
This guy inherited a league that is a moneymaker. And to me, you pay these guys big money as leaders to identify problems and fix them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see where Mr. Goodell has fixed any problems in the NFL since he took over.
I agree totally.
About the money that he's making, Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, these things bug the hell out of me.
Well, Clifton, I agree. I agree completely. He has been, since he's taken over, he has botched every major case, every major incident that's crossed his desk. He's really not a very bright man. I don't know any other way to put it. I've said that in this show and I've written, he's not a bright man. He's a guy who is not very well educated, or at least compared to other league commissioners and other sports executives, not very well educated. kind of worked his way up the NFL ladder, taking advantage of family ties. And basically, he's the figurehead bully. Grant in Mississauga, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Just listening to the program, and I think where Goodell probably and likely has gone wrong during his whole tenure has been approaching it from a everybody's innocent until they're proven guilty. And he believes that that's the way society works. And for the most part, most people would. However, he's in a whole separate, whether it's the NFL or the Major League Baseball or hockey, they're in another category. They have their own rules. They set their own codes of conduct. And that's where he's confused. And perhaps every league's approach from you're guilty until you're proven innocent. Similar to the way the CRA operates and the IRS in the United States. Once your accusations have been leveled by legitimate situations, that, okay, guys, there is no contract, is no play, and now you've got to make the case that proves you innocent. Because that's, if he is operating, I believe he has been, he wants to wait for society to make the rule and the law. Meanwhile, the sponsors are going crazy. You can't do this, guys, because you can't wait for a two-year, three-year process of law. And, you know, he made that reference in his press conference. At what point does he intervene? You see, and I think that was the struggle internally between the lawyers talking in one ear, the sponsors talking in another, and the owner saying, hey, Goodell, we elected you to solve these problems. You've messed up everyone. Anyway, that's what I've got to say about it. I think they need to approach it from once you tell all the players and the union that when your players have these accusations leveled against them, whatever they are, they now have to make a case to stay in the league.
Appreciate the call, Grant. It's an interesting point of view, and it's one that you, given the fact that the commissioner of the NFL appears to have all these powers, both to be judge and jury, he would seem to be in a position where he could pull that off. I really do think that the way to go here is, and I agree with Grant to a certain degree on this, something like this happens, you are suspended pending the outcome of legal action or the outcome of a serious investigation into it. And you're suspended without pay, which I know is harsh. But I'm looking at this as the NFL has to strike a balance between punishment and deterrence here. That's the whole issue. It's not just a matter of punishment. It's a matter of deterrence. And how do you deter somebody from doing something? You take their money away from them. The rest of it, you're not going to affect any change. The Toronto Maple Leafs, God, they just went into camp a couple of days ago. They start their exhibition season tonight in London against the Philadelphia Flyers. A lot of talk this weekend about a new defensive system that Peter Horacek is putting in place for the Leafs. Gord Stellick is co-host of our Leafs Nation pre- and post-game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And Gord Stellick will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.